Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast, featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's gonna be boo-boo this entire time, I'm gonna be mad.
Howdy, and welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Yanda, and of course, here with my co-host and partner in crime, Bobby Hoyt. Man, I really gotta work on that intro.
So, no, I like it. I like it.
Okay. Anyway, today we're here. This is part two of our behind the scenes, you know, pulling back the curtain on a six-figure launch. And we're kind of, yeah, man, it's fun. We're, yeah.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. But man, no, it's been such a cool journey, such a cool experience, you know. Looking forward to the third one after doing back-to-back to see if we can do it a third time. But today, in the second part, we're talking about the pre-launch, which I think is really important and that a lot of people miss out on. If you listen to the last episode, we talked about creating the course, why we thought ours was successful. It was a little bit longer, but it was really good. I think there was a lot in there. This one, I think, is equally as important. I honestly think that these two might be more important than the actual launch strategy, which is what everybody focuses on. Right. I know I've been a part of a lot of launches for clients and, you know, when I did have done consulting, all kinds of stuff. And the pre-launch, the planning, the decision-making, what you do, the actions you take has a big impact on the results you get for a launch. And at the end of the day, like as a business owner, you want to make some money. Right? We want to make money. We want to have fun. We want to do well. But if you're creating a product, if you're selling a course, if you're launching something, you're probably launching it because you believe that you can have an impact on people's lives. So the more successful the launch is going to be, of course, you're going to make more money, but you're going to have a bigger impact. You're going to reach more people. You're going to change more lives. So this is important. Don't overlook this part.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, the first episode was kind of all the feel good stuff, you know, it was like the fluffy feel good stuff. And I think this is more the guts. What people really want to know is like, how do we pull this off? You know, like, and how did this all work? So this will be cool to jump into.
Right. And I think I want to start off by giving a big shout out because I feel like one of the most important decisions we made was hiring my good friend, now our good friend, Chris Orzechowski, the copywriter, like we call him Chris the copywriter, hiring him to come in and not only write the copy for our sales page, but to write the email copy that we sent out to the list for those sequences. I think it was a game changer. I really feel like if we hadn't have hired him, that we may not have reached the six-figure mark and we blasted past it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I think, you know, bringing in somebody like Chris, which there's not a lot of people like Chris out there, to be honest. There's a lot of copywriters. Right. I think Chris is hands down. I mean, when you look at the quality of his work, whether it's sales page or email or whatever, the dude can write. And it's not just that he can write. He's probably turning red somewhere right now. It's not just that he can write. It's that he knows his craft in and out. I mean, it's like pro. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I totally give him credit. He was with us the entire way, you know, all
celebrating long. Was like, yeah, I mean, we would wake up in the morning and he was an hour ahead of us because he's on the East Coast and he'd be like, how's it going? How's it going? Like he was, before we were even awake, he was ready to go, was excited. And that was really cool. But it's interesting. You know, I think part of our decision to hire a copywriter was part of it was a time thing, you know, like we were like, we've got so much to do. We turned the whole thing, like we said, idea to launch in 5 weeks. And although we felt like we could have done a good job with it, we were like, let's just get something off of our plate. And I think that was where it initially started. But now, I mean, it's to the point where like we have clients that come to us and hire us to help them with their launches. And we're like, you got to hire Chris. You got to bring him on board. It's going to have a huge impact, you know, and we've seen even where we've helped businesses where they're launching courses, they have successful courses and we're helping them with launches and they're getting more traffic. They've got more affiliates. They're driving more people to the sales page, but the amount, the percentage they're converting is not as high because they don't have Chris's emails. They don't have his sales page. And it's just, I think as we've started to work with more businesses, helping them launch their courses, it's made me appreciate even more how much he did for us.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. There's just no doubt in my mind. He had a massive impact. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things about hiring a copywriter, that is something in the blogging world that's not normal. Right. You know, a lot of bloggers are very protective of, you know, like every piece of content on Millennial Money Man I've written, you know,
right,
hundreds of pieces of content. And so it was one of those things where, you know, I'm sure that I was a little bit skeptical of it when it was like you have somebody writing the sales page kind of in your voice and writing emails in your voice. But what I've realized about great copywriters, which Chris is, they take the things that you have written and they rearrange them to work. And so it's not like it's somebody just writing, like, you know, just writing a bunch of stuff and saying they're you. Like, they take your words. And they really form it into something that makes sense, that handles objections and creates urgency and does all these things. But it's like, you know, when I read that stuff, it's me, it's stuff I've written. And that was where I was like, when I saw his work in the beginning, I was like, holy crap, this guy's good.
You know, it's
able to do it the right way.
And it wasn't even just that. Like, he spent hours on calls with us, interviewing us, asking us questions, learning about our story, learning about the service we were providing, learning about the audience. And that shone through, you know, that we saw that so much. Like you said, it's like you're reading it and it sounds like you, right? Like, you could have written it, except you couldn't have because you're not Chris. So
yeah. it was a really surreal thing because it was like he'd do an email and we'd read over it. You know, all three of us would kind of huddle over it and read it. And I mean, he had taken stuff that I had written months ago, like that I didn't even remember that I had written. And he'd gone back, and this is what like a pro's pro does. They go back through and they really get to know the person that they're writing. And I'd see things that like I wrote a long time ago that he'd bring back. And I was like, holy crap. Like,
blog posts, tweets, Facebook posts. I mean, everything.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. There's no one else that I would feel that comfortable with, you know, being like, hey, you know, take my stuff and move it around. And you know, he's just so good. So
yeah,
I'm going to give him a big hug.
For sure, man. Love that.
We
guy.
Love Chris. And we love Chris. 'Cause he's really good.
And he's become a good friend too. I think the bigger thing here, I didn't mean to just like jump off, and I know I said, I was like, I want to give him a shout out, but I didn't mean for it to turn into, you know, just this love fest. But the point here is, don't be afraid to invest in your launch and hire people to do things, right? And so, you know, I've written copy for people. I write ad copy. I've written sales pages. I've done it. But we had him do it because he can do it better. You know, you talked about a lot of bloggers are kind of hesitant to hire copywriters. It's because they're writers. They have pride in what they write and they're good at what they do, but it's different, right? And so, and it's the same thing. Like, we're going to talk about here how we ran Facebook ads almost as an afterthought in this launch, and it made a huge impact. But, you know, we've outsourced the ads for Laptop Empires that way, because there are other things that only we can do, but ads, copywriting, those are things that anyone can do for us and can maybe do better than us. So I think that's a key there, is hiring experts. We recommend, you and I are big believers in investing in our business. And that was no different when this launched. We hadn't made a single dime and we decided we're going to invest in all of these ways, hiring the experts for the group, hiring a community manager, hiring somebody for customer support, hiring a copywriter, like now an ads manager. Like, there's so many things that we've done. So don't be afraid to invest. Don't be afraid to have somebody come in and show you how it's done.
Well, one of the cool things too about somebody like Chris and having a copywriter, you know, not every copywriter is going to be able to do this for you, but if you can find one that has a lot of experience launching courses, which there are plenty of copywriters out there that can do that, but one of the things about Chris, and I kind of liken it back to like my band directing days. Like in the high school marching band world, you have a program coordinator, where it's like, it's not a person that, it's basically somebody that oversees the entire process. And Chris didn't necessarily oversee the process, but he helped guide our strategy, whether it came to the amount of emails that we sent, the way that the sales page was structured, just the way that we made changes throughout the launch process. Mm-hmm. Like he was there as like, hey, he could pull from his experience, like, hey, with this company that we did a 7-figure launch from, here's what we did. You know, here's what I suggest. And that stuff was huge too. And I think it's every bit as important as the copywriting, but the strategy of the actual launch itself and like what you do during the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge. And you know, we do that even, right? Like we've started working with, you know, all of these bloggers and stuff that are launching their courses, helping them with Facebook ads, but we're also coming in and we're giving them guidance on, you know, here's how often you should be emailing. You should have these kind of bonuses. You should have this kind of structure. We're giving them that kind of guidance from pulling on our past experiences, but also our experiences doing this. And it's nice to have somebody, you know, even with us and as much as we've done as many courses as I've promoted, you know, with my agency, having somebody to bounce an idea off of that's an expert, huge, like a true expert. It's nice. And it makes you feel more confident because you have a discussion. You're not second guessing yourself about, is this the right thing?
Yeah. It's having a team. That's what it comes down to. And it's like, you know, if you're a solo entrepreneur and it's just you, man, doing a launch by yourself would be,
it's tough.
That would be hard. So if you can put together a team around you, man, it makes everything so much easier.
Yeah. And we'll talk about this in later episodes, but like you and I were both solopreneurs for so long and we had kind of different things. You know, you talk so much about having mentors and having people that were where you wanted to be and they gave you guidance. And for me, I took a different approach where I had friends, right? Like Chris is a good example. Chris was a friend of mine that was in a similar level with me in business, but in a different area. And I had a dozen people like that. And so when I was going on my journey, if I had a question, I would reach out to my friends and get their support. And you need, you know, having that is killer. And we'll talk about that in other episodes. But hiring an expert, especially a copywriter, I think it's a game changer. Like you can write what you think is a good sales page, but you don't even know. And I'll say one more thing about Chris, then we got to move on. I know a lot of copywriters and I cannot tell you how many copywriters I had message me personally that saw our sales page and said, Mike, that is the best sales page I've ever seen. Who wrote that? Right. Yeah. And they wanted it. And they wanted, they're like, did you write that? I'm like, I did not write that. And I got two different reactions. Either I told them it was Chris and they're like, oh, I don't know him. I got to go find out. Or they're like, oh man, that guy's so good. I didn't realize that was him though. That's killer. You know? So I think when you've got new copywriters, as well as copywriters I know that have been, you know, 30 years in the industry that are talking about how good it was, dude's killer. So enough love on Chris. I think another thing that's really big, and I would say one of the most important things for any launch, a lot of people think you send your emails, you run your Facebook ads or whatever paid traffic, and that's going to get you results. You've got a pregame, right?
Yeah.
And I don't mean drinking wine or beer, whatever. I mean, you've got to lay the groundwork. You've got to let your audience know it's coming and you got to get them all hot and bothered. You got to get them so excited about what's coming that they cannot wait for it. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I've had clients where we did a launch, we ran ads and it didn't go so hot. And it was because they didn't do what I recommended they do to hype up the group. And the next launch came around and they listened and they did those things. And massive launch. And so copy the product, like not all that stuff is important, but if you don't get people excited about it, if you don't stir up excitement, you're not going to have a good result. And we did a lot to stir up excitement before this started.
On the first one. Yeah. We started pretty early, but I think, you know, we were really active, whether it was blog posts on Millennial Money Man about it and just, you know, getting people onto a wait list. I think there were several of those that we did. Mentioning it wherever we could, jumping in and doing live streams in the private Millennial Money Facebook group,
I was going on webinars with affiliates.
Yeah, you were going all over the place. It was just one of those things where we really, you know, it's almost like promoting a rap album. You know, Mike and I like rap a lot. So it's our favorite like working music, but you know, every rapper that has a huge album, you see them talk, you see them like start popping up, and then like you see them like building excitement around this album drop and all this stuff. It's the same thing. You know,
Drake is dropping Scorpion in like a week. And you've been seeing the Scorpion logo. You've been seeing these jackets, you know, he's got all these jackets on Instagram and like that kind of stuff. It's like, you've known it's been coming for 3 months. So,
yeah, I mean, it's like, it's part of being a marketer, you know, really. It's like the marketing starts way before the course launches, and if you're an artist, it starts way before the album drops. And so that's a big part of it. And I think that's a good way to kind of liken it to, you know, you've got to start building excitement. And if you don't, then you're not going to have the kind of results you want. Everything else can be great, but you know, you got to have excitement.
And I just want to list a couple of things that we did, and maybe you can chime in with some as well that I thought were helpful. I think part of it, of us doing a lot of it, was we were introducing me to your audience so that they could get to know me. So we did a lot of live streams. We did a podcast style interview. We did a written interview like that was a blog post. So we were really kind of letting them get to know me, since obviously I'm a big part of the course, but they didn't know me yet. So we did that, but you would be posting all the time in your groups. You'd be mentioning it in the blog, you'd be posting in the group, and you'd be like, what are you most excited about, you know, with this course? And people would say all kinds of stuff, which was great marketing material for us for the sales page. I'm excited about doing this, or doing things
I'm
like
worried about this.
Yeah. I'm worried about this. I don't know if I can do this. Like, and so we got a lot of material for the sales page that we were given to Chris, and he was just like, this is amazing. Yeah. And then we would do stuff like, what would you do with an extra $1,000 to $2,000 per month? I remember you would post stuff like that and people would tell us, and then that was copy material, but we had people that were already imagining the result of taking our course, which was really cool. So I think just putting it out there, all kinds of places, sharing your excitement, sharing why you were excited about it. There was a lot of behind the scenes stuff, right? I remember you'd be like, hey, we're working on this today. And you'd share people like, you know, we're putting together 4 or 5, now it's like 8 or 9, but you were like, we've got 3, 4, 5 things that we're putting together on how to get clients to make it easy on you. We're putting together this sales training, like you were overcoming objections before they happened.
Right.
It's huge. Massive.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things. It's like, you're just priming the pump, really. I mean, that's all you're doing. You're priming your audience for something big. And we got to the point we had done, I think we did so much, not so much, cause I don't think we overdid it. We didn't have people that were like, oh God, shut up. You know, we were, you know, kind of conscious of the audience and everything, but you know, we had people that were begging us to put the course out early. And like we had people that were like, I want to be the first person that buys it.
Yeah.
Like that, we had people that excited for the course. And I think, you know, it's just such a huge component. If you don't do that, you're missing out on a lot of people that are probably going to be some of your strongest customers, and some of the most loyal customers. Some of the people that bought the course from the beginning that were the most excited about it, a lot of them are still with us. They're our number one, like our number one fans, that change the course all the time. They help us sell it. I mean, it's just one of those things that there's so many different benefits to getting in early and putting in groundwork.
I think another kind of thing that helped with us, like as we were hyping it, we were gathering all this info. We did everything we needed to do to launch the course before we made the course. Like that was the last thing we did. But it shaped the course so much. You know, we had that original outline. You remember, like, we changed the outline for the course like a dozen times.
God,
we just
like,
kept tweaking it.
And so
we were constantly changing what needed to be in there, what we needed to do. And so we were making sure everything was in place, because recording the information, we know the information by heart. We just had to hit record and we had to start talking. And so we were building the hype. We were getting the emails ready. We were building the sales page. We were building the order forms, all the automations. Like, there's so much stuff that we did behind the scenes. And then the last thing we did is we went and we created the course. And I think, and I bring this up because, not so people think we're lazy and we didn't create the course till the end, but I think there was a benefit to that the course was refined before we recorded it. And then the difference is, I think a lot of people, when they create a course, They go, they create a course, and then they hope people want it. Yeah. And we talked about in the last episode about how your course has to solve a problem, has to be something that people want. And usually, like, it was real easy for us. We saw a huge demand from the first mention of it. Like, we got lucky in that sense, but we listened to them. We asked questions, we got information, and we made changes based on that. Like, we've put a massive, massive emphasis on different strategies for gaining clients, because I think that's people's biggest fear is, how do I sell? How do I find a client? Why would someone hire me if I don't know this? And so, you know, in what could have started out as just a Facebook ads course really turned into a business course, a client acquisition course. And that, you know, like those kind of things, that pre-launch process of talking to the audience had a massive impact shaping the actual content.
Well, and I think that's just, that goes down to, that lends itself to the idea that we knew the material, we knew what we were going to teach. So, you know, we focus more on the strategy, building the hype, all that stuff. And we knew it was like, okay, we can just knock out the course. Cause that's
right.
You know, like that's the easy part. I remember
just gonna talk.
That. Like,
yeah.
That's the easy part. The course, like recording the course is the easy part, because if you know what you're talking about, it's, I mean, you just talk about something that you're doing. So that's one of those things that I think, you know, we had that kind of advantage. You know, one of the biggest things that a lot of people would overcome if they didn't have a course, or that we had to overcome, you know, this was an unproven product. Not that the concept was unproven, because we knew it worked, but the idea of this course had no social proof around it. It had, you know, no testimonials. It had nothing that was like, this thing works. And so we had to kind of overcome all of that in the beginning. And we did. So I think we need to talk a little bit about how we did that.
Yeah. So when you launch, you know, it's one thing if, I think what a lot of people do is they're teaching people how to do something, and then they help people get these results, and then they create a course out of it. So maybe they're doing one-to-one, at least in my industry, people are doing one-to-one. And then as demand gets there, then they do one-to-many, and they're then creating the group version. They have the results, testimonials. We didn't. Our business was brand new. This was something that no one in the audience knew about. So we didn't have that social proof, even though you had done it, even though I had done it, even though I had coached people on how to do it. We didn't have that. So instead, we talked about the opportunity for the audience, right?
Yeah.
We talked about how they could earn $1,000 to $2,000 a month in a couple hours a week doing this thing. We leaned on our stories a lot, right? Yeah. Everybody knew your story, but then we also came in and introduced my story, which was very different. But with our two stories together, we were able to reach a very broad audience. Maybe somebody didn't relate to you, but they related to me and vice versa. Right. And because of all the pre-launch hype and all of that, and knowing the audience so well and doing our research, we knew what their pains were. You know, we talked about this so much last episode of knowing your audience. We knew that they were trying to pay off their student loans. We knew they were trying to pay off their mortgage. We knew that they were trying to save money to go on a nice vacation, take their kids to Disney World. You know, that we knew they were trying to save for retirement. Whatever it was, we knew those things. And we knew that we could present this as a solution to help them get the money to achieve whatever their goal was. And so we focused on those things and those things alone and had great results with it.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing about focusing on the pain and problems and how this was a solution, we knew that this would work for them. You know, like we knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, like if you get one to two clients, you're going to make extra money.
Right.
And we knew that it was possible, because the other thing, you know, I don't think we have talked about this yet in the podcast format. We knew that there was a ton of demand for this. Like, you know, and that's the thing too, if you're going to create any kind of course, it's got to be something that is actually achievable, but especially if it's a marketing course or some kind of service, there's got to be demand for it. And we knew that.
Demand. You mean demand for the service, for the Facebook ads,
for the service.
For businesses. Yeah.
Yeah. We knew that it was like, not only can this happen for people, but there are plenty of opportunities for them to go out and make it happen. And so I think that was a big thing that we talked about too, is like the opportunity. And we address this in the sales page. Of how many, like we literally have like how many businesses are started every year. We've got a lot of stats around that tell people like, look, this is something that is a huge need for small businesses. Yeah. And us doing digital marketing, we knew that it was, because it's like everybody has like, they always ask business owners, like, how can I get Facebook ads? You know, like they want it, they want them. And so we were like, okay, this is huge. So that's another thing that, you know, without the social proof and everything, we knew it was a proven concept. We knew that there was somebody that wanted it, you know, we knew that there was money out there for it.
Yeah. And to compare it to our second launch, I mean, if you remember, we changed our strategy with our emails and our marketing halfway through the launch because we weren't getting the results we wanted. And what we realized was in the second launch, we had something like 40 testimonial videos and like 50 written testimonials. We had all this. And so we came back for the second launch and we're like, now we have this social proof, let's lean on it. And we focused more on the social proof and less on the opportunity and how our course could get them that kind of result. And that was the wrong decision. Like we learned,
Was funny because it seemed like it would be the right one. Like it seemed like it's like, dude, we have all these testimonials, like we have all the success, and it just it comes down to we got away from what we knew the audience needed, which was an opportunity to make more money, to pay off a little bit more debt, invest a little more.
Yeah.
So we got too far away from that, and then we, like you were about to say, like we came back to it, and it took off.
Our biggest objection in the second launch was, okay, all these people have gotten this result, but I don't know that I can.
Yeah.
Right. It was self-doubt. Right.
Yeah.
And the difference from the first launch was that because we were painting this picture and we were showing them what they could accomplish and what they would accomplish if they followed the course and they did what we taught them, they were imagining it and it was helping them build that self-confidence to like, I can do this, or at least I can make the small investment and I can see the potential ROI. And in that second launch, when we realized what was happening and we started seeing those objections and we changed back to talking about the opportunity, what they could achieve and talking about those kind of things, all of a sudden it was like, it was like a switch, right? Like all of a sudden the sales, they took off. The point being, you don't have to have a ton of social proof. You need to have a good product. You need to be able to get people results. But what you need to focus on is the benefit to them, the solution you can provide, the opportunity, what they can achieve. And that makes a big difference.
Well, it's like, as you were saying that, I was just like, wow, I think we overthought it a little bit with the testimonials. It was like, you know, what a great resource to have testimonials, but you know, you can have, and if you do more launches and you do more courses, like, people that are listening to this will find out you can have too many testimonials. Like you can have too much. And that was something Chris actually, you know, mentioned a couple times. You know, testimonials are great, but that's not what sells courses. You know?
Yeah. And we had, you know, as an example of that, I remember you were like, I would love to put out a blog post that's like 100 testimonials for the Facebook course.
Yeah.
And we did that and it was cool and people liked it, but did not have the same effect as if we had done something else.
Yeah.
Like there's so many, we could have interviewed one person. We could have interviewed one person in a blog post. And I think that would have been more effective, but.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, I know we're not talking about testimonials, like deep dive into those, but I think that, you know,
story is powerful.
Yeah. It's not volume. It's individual story. It's getting somebody to relate and address those pain points, not just seeing a ton of people, because then it's like, it's almost overwhelming at that point. So that was a great learning experience for us as we went through the course. So just stick with what you know, don't overthink it. If you know a pain point, then stick with that.
And I think this is a good point too, just for when you're putting out a product. One of the things that we get a lot of praise from our community is that we're very transparent about what we do well and what we don't do well. And if we don't know how to do something, we bring in somebody that does. And if we screw up, we tell them, you know, if we are having troubles or we had things that we struggled with in the beginning, we tell those stories. And, you know, here we're telling you guys about like, we screwed up something on the second launch and it probably cost us a lot of money. But I think when you're putting out a course, like being transparent is a big deal.
Well, and that's, I mean,
that's off topic, but I think,
it's not off topic. It's how you build authenticity though. So it is it's on topic. It's how you build trust. It's how you build authenticity is transparency. Like that's when you're human. And when you admit that like, we kind of blew it on that, but we corrected it. And also going back to tying in something else, we had the copywriter that was flexible enough to not be offended that we said, hey, look, this isn't working. Like this strategy that we're using right now. I mean, you know, if it was somebody that sucked, that had
we messaged him on Friday afternoon and we're like, we've got 48 hours and we have to make a change. And yeah. he just did it.
And he was like, cool. And that's experience though. That's experience. Yeah. And I think that that's also humility. And so that we're good. And that's just working with a professional too. But
yeah,
speaking of pain points.
Yeah.
Let's talk about pricing.
Dude.
Course pricing.
I think this is such a cool topic because one of the things that we talk about in our course, if you go buy our course right now, it's $397, right?
Yeah.
And we're, you know, we might raise it one day, but we've said we're never going to go over $500. Yeah. And which is totally different because if you go look at any other Facebook ads course that's worth anything, the least expensive you're going to find is $997. And most of them are going to be 1200. They're going to be 2000. I think 2000 is like the sweet spot for most people. Yeah. All the way up to 12,000. I know an incredible course is $12,000. And guess what? I've had some of our members ask me about that course or courses like it. And I've taken every Facebook course under the sun. Like we put everything that you and I have learned collectively in this course. So there's not any $5,000, $10,000 course out there that has a whole heck of a lot more than what we have. There are certain things. there are a couple little things, yeah, but
of course.
For the most part, it's in there. The things that are missing are like the real one-on-one coaching type stuff that that we don't have at this price point. But you know, we came in. I think when we talked about it initially, I was thinking that kind of price point, like a minimum like $1,000, because that's the floor in my industry for this type of course. And you're like, I don't know if my audience will buy that.
I might have even said. Well, because when we launched the course, it was 247.
Yeah, when we started.
Yeah, so like we were way under that. And I remember I either said 197, which is a real common price point in the personal finance world, or maybe 247 or 297 or something. And I remember you were like, man, that's really cheap.
Like, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure you said 197. And
I might have.
And I remember when you first told me like what you wanted for the price, I was like, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure about doing this.
And I was
surprised. This is a lot of work.
Yeah, I was surprised. But, you know, I was like, I was throwing out some numbers that I thought we could do.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was like, no, I think we can do this volume. Like, I think we can do this. And I remember you were probably sitting there like, you were like, this guy's crazy. Like, what's he talking about? We can do this much. But that was just a matter of I didn't know we were going to do that many sales. But I really felt like I knew my audience well enough and I saw the excitement to where I thought we could do it. Like I was hoping we could. And so that was probably a big compromise for you, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I remember at the time I was like, I don't know. But you know, on the flip side, you and I have talked about pricing since then. And I know you've at times have been like, should we increase the price to be like more competitive in the market? And I'm like,
yeah.
I think we're in the sweet spot, you know?
Yeah, we really are.
But what we ended up doing, you know, this is great. We always talk about, and we've probably said this 1,000 times on the podcast or will say 1,000 times. We always talk about like, what do we want to achieve? What's our real goal here? And then how does this impact the audience? And when we sat down and talked about it, we realized that our goal was not to sell a couple of high ticket courses. Our goal was to allow as many people as possible to have this life-changing experience that we've had.
Yep.
And we know, and we say this in the copy all the time, we understand how much an extra $1,000 to $2,000 per month can be life-changing. It can. Yeah. and so we just made this decision that we never want price to be the thing that stops somebody from doing this course.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, are we way under the market? Sure. Have we had people that have told us like, I don't want to take your course because if you're pricing it that way, it must not be quality. Like I've experienced that from my world, but the reality is we know it's a quality product. We know it's competitive with anything out there. And we priced it in a way that made sense for the audience. You know, we talked about this, both of these, I think we talked about it more last episode, but about how we knew the audience, we knew what their goals were. They were trying to cut costs. They were trying to save money. They're trying to pay down debt. They're very disciplined and they put a lot of work and made a lot of sacrifice to achieve those goals. And we wanted them to be able to make more money to achieve the goals faster. But we realized that if they had to go way outside of their budget, like $2,000 to buy the course to then make that money, it wasn't going to be realistic for them. It wasn't going to be in their plan. So we priced it accordingly. We got the price right for the audience and for what we wanted to achieve.
Well, You know, and something that when we're talking about pricing, something that I vehemently disagree with, because I had people telling me that I was underpricing the course because they were saying things like, you know, if you price it that low, you're going to get low quality students. And that's something that some guru said that at some point, because I've heard so many people say.
No, I've heard that so many times.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, man, the people, and you and I have even been surprised by it, because I think it's been even more than we imagined. The people that were in my audience that bought the course, they don't just, there's a lot of people that just take courses, especially in your world. I feel like a lot of people
buy a course and then they buy the next course and they buy the next course and they don't take action.
Yeah. Our people were like, they took it and then it, like, they were not low quality students. They took it and they did something with it, which is the point of courses. You know,
our members take this course and then they let it consume their life.
Yeah. It's
so cool. There's all these meetups going on across the country from people in this course. There's been a handful of them already. There's friendships. There's people that talk outside of it. We've had business partnerships form. We've had, you know, all this crazy stuff. And you talk to these people and they're like, I don't do anything on Facebook but hang out in this group with these people.
Yeah.
So yeah, the price does not matter for the quality of people that come in there.
Now, if it's right for your audience, I think that's, if you're listening to this and you're going to do a course, don't worry about what everybody says about pricing and all that stuff. Do what you know is right for the audience. Like, if you just start there, and it goes back to everything, like if you're blogging or if you're building a business, like, do what's right for the customer. And if you just start there, you're probably going to do pretty well. You know, there are a lot of courses that are priced much higher than ours, and we make a lot more money than those people because we've priced it correctly. And we have an audience that we feel like is really, really strong, and they go and they go do the work, and it makes it more fun too.
And it's not just like, here's the other thing too. When it's a lower price, there's more volume, you have more buyers, right? So we have more people going through the course, which means just from a numbers perspective, we have more success stories, more people landing clients, more people leaving their jobs, more people changing their lives. And then on top of that, you know, we just talked about how we went too far dependent on social proof in the second launch, but it's still important. Those testimonials and people getting results are still important. We always have people that are like, can you show us some examples of people that have gotten results? And we're like, yeah, ask in the group, anyone will answer, or go to this page and see 100 people. Right. But on top of that, there's like an army of hustlers now that are out there that are wearing the t-shirts that we created and talking about the course and are like telling their friends, you got to join this. So they're marketing for us. Like, and at the end of the day, the thing, it's really cool to have a six-figure launch.
Yeah.
It's even cooler when somebody, one of your students comes up to you and says, I'm quitting my job today.
It's unreal.
It's incredible. It's an incredible feeling.
That's what it's all about, though. And and that goes to, you know, this is a nice transition, because I think we've been talking about the readers and we've been talking about the audience and how much we've been, you know, really happy with what we've seen. And one of the things that I was concerned about, not concerned about, but one of the things that both of us did, I think
you were cautious about.
Yeah. I was cautious about, you know, I wanted to be respectful because I'd taken all this time building this relationship with my audience. You know, anytime that, if you're a blogger, if you're an influencer, whatever, anytime that you put a product in front of your audience, you're changing the relationship that you have with them in some way. You know, and it wasn't, you know, let's say you've given free content away for years, and then all of a sudden you say, you know, hey, here's this sponsorship, or hey, here's this affiliate link, or hey, here's this course. Now all of a sudden you've gone from helpful person giving them free stuff to, in a way, a salesperson, you know? And so every time that you do that, you change that relationship with your audience. And so we were both really careful. And I think you were really great about this, coming into this audience. Like, you didn't know the audience as well as me. And it wasn't your audience in the beginning.
They weren't my people.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, but you were so respectful of them. And I think that even in our launch process, we did a good job of being respectful of the audience and not just, you know, I didn't lose. You're always going to, like, if you're emailing a bunch of people about a course, you're always going to lose subscribers. I really lost like a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of my list, like way less than I thought it was going to be. And it was a much more positive experience than I thought it was going to be.
And we talked about it so much from how many, you know, one of the things with email marketing, frequency is important. The more emails you send, the more opens you have, the more likely people are going to buy. And it's about, like, frequency is a big deal. Like, I mean, you know, like I've talked about, you know, I love daily email, like in just regular non launches. I like daily email, but that's a lot of email, you know? And so we were talking about, you were doing three blogs a week. You were sending three emails a week to where, you know, we sent two emails a day and three on the last day. Right.
Yeah.
And we talked about, like, how much is too much, right? Should we do more? Should we do less? And played that balance of what do we do? You know, and we talked about everything. Do we only send to pre-sale lists? Do we send to everyone? Like, how do we balance it? And I think we found a good place. We'll talk about it in the next episode, what we did, but we found a good balance. And because of Chris, we maintained your voice, your message, you know, it sounded like it was coming from you. You were editing emails. You were giving ideas for emails. I mean, you were very involved in it. It's not like somebody came in and just wrote them. Like, you were very involved in it. And we talked about people's fears, talked about people's concerns. We talked about, like, we were honest. We answered questions and we're available. Like, I mean, I think that's a big thing too, is that, like, and once again, this is kind of a great thing because we're getting into the next episode.
Yeah.
You and I spent all of our time in email, in Messenger. I talked to somebody on the phone. Like, we were talking to people in all these different mediums, on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever, and answering their questions and giving them our time. Because if they're thinking about investing with us, then we need to make sure that they're going to be successful. We need to make sure that they're comfortable, and we need to make sure that they're making a good decision. And I think there were even times where, this is one of the things, one of my favorite things was, you've built this business on save your money, don't go into debt, pay your debt. And we had people that wanted to take this course so bad that they wanted to put it on a credit card. And you were coming to them and said, look, I understand we're doing a founding rate. We say we're never going to do it again, but I don't want you to go into debt to do this. Save the money up. I'll put you on a list and we'll honor the price when you can afford it. And, like, that's the kind of stuff that you've got to do, like, to just be, you know, I feel like I say this every episode, you've got to be a good shit human being. Like, you've just got to be a good person, and you've got to talk about, you've got to be respectful of your audience. You've got to realize that, like, like you said, you're changing the relationship. I think that's such a great point, but letting them know, like, it's not just about money,
right?
Like, our bigger mission with Laptop Empires is not just about make a bunch of money. Is it about making money? Yeah. If you go on our website and you read our income report, we talk about, like, we believe in three things: making money, helping other people make money, and having fun, right? Yeah. And all three of those are important. But that second one is really the thing that gives us the good feels. You know?
Yeah. And I think that's what that common thread that you and I have had, I think that's what has made this whole thing work, you know, not just the course launch and not just all that stuff. Like, that's what's made the whole business work, is that we have that shared idea of being respectful of the audience, you know, making sure that we're treating them right.
Yep.
So
100%. And with that, I think we're at the end of this episode. So in the next episode, we're going to talk about the launch. This is going to be real, you know, hands in the dirt, strategic, what we did, numbers, that kind of stuff. We're going to get into it. I didn't mention this earlier in the episode, so I'm going to say it now. If you're listening to this, if you've made it all the way to the end, we've put together a special promo code for you just to thank you for watching this. But if you've heard us talking about this course and you're thinking, man, I want to start an online business, I want to start a side hustle, this sounds great, I want to get involved, use the link in the show notes and enter the promo code WINE, because we love wine, and you will save $40 on the course. Okay. So, this is we are not big on sales and discounts. We don't do them regularly, but if you use this promo code, there's no timeline. Promo code WINE, save $40. We'd love to see you in the community, but if not, that's cool. Just make sure you subscribe, follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you use, leave us some comments, let us know what you thought. We're looking forward to seeing you next episode. You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.